Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's see how our high tech is doing today. Good. My name is Peter Magnuson. If you are visiting today, then you may not know that our faithful pastor of over 10 years took a call last May to pastor a church up in North Carolina. We missed Pastor Jim. So I am in rotation along with about 10 other visiting firemen who have been here preaching in our church. I'm also, as you may know, the chairman of our search team. Later this week, we will be meeting as the search team and the elders with a new candidate. We ask your prayers, continued prayer for the Lord's guidance and for discernment as we seek to find the next shepherd, the next pastor of our church. Way back when I was in high school, my parents purchased a small black and white television. This was high tech for the Magnuson family. This was something new. You can guess how long ago it was. So often after school, I would return home, turn on the television, and watch this creepy, horrible television show. Dark Shadows. Barnabas Collins, the vampire, I've come to drink your blood. Well, these many years later, looking back at those years, I see now I should have asked my father, I should have asked my pastor, I should have prayed to the Lord for wisdom how to use this new technology. So it is with each new generation that new technology comes along. We need the wisdom of the Spirit, the Lord, so that we can use it profitably and wisely. High tech, high touch. What about the new technology of our day with our smartphones and our tablets and laptop computers? These devices, are they for you toys or are they tools or maybe a terror? Some of us, we use the high-tech devices just as toys. Enormous capability there, but we're just playing games on them. Some of us, they're powerful tools. We wonder, how did we ever live without these smartphones? For some of us, maybe of the geriatric stripe, and I'm careful, I resemble that remark. For some of us, high-tech gadgets are a terror. There are times in our frustration we'd like to take the smartphones and the computers we have and smash them into smithereens. Well, today, I want us to take a moment to look at how we can consecrate ourselves and dedicate our high-tech gadgets for kingdom use. Let us think today how we can use our high-tech gadgets to engage in high touch in building the body of Christ up as we apply the what the Scripture calls the one another passages. We'll take a look at a moment what that means. But first of all, what does it mean to consecrate? Consecrate means to make something or declare something sacred. That is, purposely dedicate a thing or a person to divine purpose. So is it fitting, is it proper to consecrate our high-tech gadgets that we may be high-touch in the body of Christ? How can we use high-tech to make those one another passages alive? Does anybody know who this amazing woman is? Was? Frances Ridley Havergal. Anybody know who she is? She wrote the song we sang last week as a prayer. You remember that song, Precious, Precious Words. What a prayer. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my hands, let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my moments and my days, let them flow with ceaseless praise. We prayed through our song, take my intellect and every power as thou shalt choose. So here's a question for you. If Frances Havergal was here today, would she have added a new verse to her song? Maybe like this. Take my life and let it be. Take my lips, my keyboard, my touchscreen, my Facebook page, let them be filled with messages for thee. We can use our high tech to be high touch. Now, what do we mean by high touch? High touch means seeking out, setting a high priority, having high quality face-to-face time and from afar through cyberspace with one another or in small groups with other followers of Jesus. High touch, like I said, is dedicating quality time to build each other in the faith. At the end of our song, our service today, we'll sing the song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds Our Hearts in Christian Love. So I don't have all the answers of how to apply this stuff, but I know over time, as I've carefully, quietly listened to the Spirit of the Lord, it's brought great light on the wise use of all these devices we have. One of our pastor candidates early on last year, as we got to know him a little bit, said something very interesting, and I've been thinking about it almost every day since. He said, often in our churches we can be very friendly, but are we really building friendships? We may have 1,000 Facebook friends, but do we really have any real friends who will stick with us closer than a brother? Are we really high touch, or are we just kind of flying by each other in cyberspace? So that's a question to ponder on. So what are these one another passages that I'm talking about? Here's just a sample. There's about 50 in the Bible, and they kind of can come down to about 20 different themes. Here's just some that you can see on the screen. Love one another. Forgive one another. Stop passing judgment on one another. Serve one another. Instruct one another. Confront, caringly confront one another, live in harmony with one another. Can we do any of those in our own strength? No. We need to fall on our knees and say, Lord, help me. I can't do this, but you've promised me power to do it. Our text for today from Hebrews, I'm going to be focusing on 24 and 25 from chapter 10. It's a perfect example of one of the one another passages. Can anybody spot two one another's in our passage? Motivate one another to acts of love and good works. What's the other one? Encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Amen? Amen. These one another passages are the Lord's instructions to us of how we can live and love in harmony with each other. They are best done high touch. That is, in heart-to-heart, close proximity with each other. How can we let the Spirit of God, Spirit of the living God, activate these one another passages in our life? In particular, how can we use those smartphones and other devices with our high tech to be high touch? So three simple points for our message today. There's an app for that. The potential power you hold in your hand in our modern day is enormous, for good or for bad. We'll look also at look before you leap into cyberspace. We'll look at inquire from the Lord before you press the enter or the send key. And finally, we'll look at reach out and touch someone. Now, anybody remember the AT&T ads on TV from years ago? High-tech devices hold within their capability enormous potential to encourage, to manifest your love, to impact the lives of your family, friends, and co-workers for eternity. This is the Greek of our passage for today, the original Greek. One another in Greek is the allelos up there. So in translation from the Greek to English or French or German or whatever, the words come across that way into our languages. So usually with all passages, there's one interpretation, but there are many, many applications. So that's why we need the Spirit's illumining as we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way, that the Spirit can take this interpretation and apply it to our lives. So let's begin with, this is an example here of trying to use that app, find by the Spirit's enlightening, that application. This is our passage. Let us think of ways, by using our high-tech gadgets, to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And by doing the one another passages, these words and the quotes are mine. Let us not neglect our meeting together, but reach the goal of high touch. So let's go to our first point. There's an app for that. The potential you hold in your palm of your hand is enormous. Let's just look at some concrete examples of that. Do you realize the power that you hold in your hand for good and evil, and how far technology has come in your life? When was it that Steve Jobs introduced for the very first time the iPhone? And he said, "This is a revolutionary and magical product. June 29, 2007. That's not too long ago. We've had enormous changes in our lifetime. Well, think with me for a really long time ago, when I was in high school, about the age of Corey, the school purchased a computer. It was the size of a refrigerator, a PDP-8. What was the memory of that computer? 4,096 bytes or words, bits of information. But in these days, or back in those days, you could actually physically see each donut, each bit, which would hold either off and on state or activated, non-activated state. You could actually see them, each of the bits. How rapidly did all that change? That 4 kilobytes, 4,000, within a few years, 1,000 times greater, became 4 megabytes. The 4 megabytes, 1,000 times later, a few years ago, became 4 gigabytes. And then 1,000 times later, present day, some of the fastest computers are 4 terabytes. Now, the thing we need to remember that all the clunky little devices in respect of what man makes is nothing compared to what God, the Creator, has made in living creatures like you and me. You know what they estimate the human brain, your little brain, can store? 2.5 petabytes. I'm from New England. They call me PETA, not Peter. 2.5 petabytes. That's one. 1 petabyte is one with 15 zeros after it. Talk about an awesome Creator God. Now, next time one of your students is taking an exam and you're having a hard time recalling a fact or a figure, you may be saying, "I know it's in there somewhere, I just can't find it. If I only had a brain." By the way, this is no kidding, my brain from an MRI. So if you ever wonder if I have a brain, there it is. Now, notice that at the end of our passage there, encourage one another, especially now, that the day of His return is coming. Who's returning? Christ. Jesus. Jesus the Lord. What day is drawing near? The day of His return. That reminds me of a passage of prophecy from Daniel. Daniel says, the Lord says to Daniel, "Keep this prophecy a secret. Seal up the book until the end of time." What's going to happen at the end of time? Many will rush here and there. Was that jet travel? I don't know. Knowledge will increase. Not wisdom, but knowledge. Who would have thought a few years ago that there'd be Wikipedia and Google? In our generation, this has been a quantum change in knowledge available. Could this rapid change in technology be a sign that the Lord may soon return? Keep your eyes looking up. The Lord Jesus may be coming back sooner than we think. Amen? We could also look at the astronomical climb of the processing speeds of computers, but what is most amazing is the storage capacity, not the storage capacity, but the programs and the apps that are available today. Martin Luther would have been flabbergasted to know the Bible apps we have available today for free on our smartphones and so forth. Here's just a couple of examples. You may be familiar with Bible Hub. It is an amazing thing. free. And there's dozens of Bible translations on there, sermons, notes, commentaries. Would you like to redeem the time while you're waiting in the doctor's office? Bible app. How about the Daily Bread? Boy, that's been just such a blessing. I've been reading them for years, and boy, they're short, simple, but so powerful, so helpful. And how about an app for hymn lyrics or song lyrics? This one here has 400 or 500 songs with the words. I've been saying over time, we try to move our worship experience with singing out of just Sunday morning into the whole week. I have the privilege of being a bachelor, and I can make all the noise I want in my house, so each morning I sing 3 hymns, full volume. So there's an app for that. There's a lot of power in your hand. So what's the problem? We need wisdom from the Spirit of the living God to choose and to learn which apps will serve us best. I think of King Solomon, David's son. As a young person, Solomon was given a great power, great authority to rule over a vast kingdom. Just like you have great, vast kingdom in your hand, in the high-tech power of your hand, we need wisdom of how to wisely use that. What did God say to Solomon? Ask, and I will give to you. Solomon replied, "Now, O Lord my God, you have made me king instead of my father David." You can say, my parents didn't have this, but my generation does. How can I have wisdom? "You made me king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. I'm here in the midst of a nation so great and numerous that they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart that I may govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong." God replied, "I will give you what you ask for. I will give you an understanding heart such as no one else has ever had before." You have been given vast capabilities and resources in today's world in the palm of your hand. Pray to the Lord for wisdom to use high tech well. The potential power you hold is enormous. High tech, high touch. What's our next point? Look before you leap into cyberspace. Inquire before you press the enter of the sin key. Inquire of the Lord. You have great potential in your high tech to bless or to harm others. What's an example how we can unnecessarily hurt each other with our misuse of high tech? Let me count the ways. And I can be just as guilty as this as everyone else. Let us say your good friend has carefully worded an email to you, sharing something with you that's deep in their heart, something very important to your friend. You see his email in your inbox, and it sits there for a week, and you delete it. And then the next day, without ever responding to what was near and dear to his heart, you send out an email to him with your comments on last night's ball game. What nonverbal message did you just send to your friend? "You don't really matter to me. I have time to watch my sports programs, but no time to answer your personal email. What's the message we're sending? I don't really care about you." So if we're constantly listening to the Spirit for wisdom, and that we have grace and truth with each other, what's some of the passages that come to mind as we meditate on the Word and then live through life? The Spirit illumines those scriptures into our world. What would come to mind in this passage? This is some of the one another's. Be devoted one another to another in love. I'm going to find time to answer your email, or ideally go and see you face to face. That you're important to me. Regard one another as important, more important than ourselves. Now here's the question for you. Does the golden rule apply in cyberspace? What's the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do to you. When you share something from your heart and you feel like you just talked to a wall, how does it make you feel? When we receive emails, text messages, let's prayerfully strive to respond back to one another in a timely manner with grace and truth. Sometimes just a quick message, "Thanks for your email. I'm swamped right now. I'll get back to you as soon as I can." Let's pray for wisdom to use grace and truth of how we respond to each other. What do you think might be the most important one another when it comes to cyberspace and high tech? You might have a weigh in on this, but I would say speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way unto Him who is the head and put away all falsehood. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of the other. Let's say, for example, you have 1,000 Facebook friends. Anybody has 1,000 Facebook friends? I wouldn't be surprised. And you finally face reality. Even with your 2.5 petabytes of memory, you can't stay in contact with everybody. It's just too much. It ain't gonna happen. So what do? You speak the truth in love. Don't just ignore people. Speak the truth in love. "I'm swamped. I can't keep up contact with everyone. I've chosen to cut back. I want fewer friends, deeper friends, and not millimeter thick 1,000 people." I said in biblical history, you often read the statement, so-and-so inquired of the Lord. They prayed to the Lord for wisdom facing a certain situation. And what does the passage usually go on and say? It went well with them. Inquire with the Lord, and it went well with them. Other passages in biblical history, so-and-so did not inquire of the Lord. And guess what? Things did not go well. Though I've tried to really slow myself down in life and think about how is what I'm wanting to do going to bless and edify and build up my brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray without ceasing when it comes to technology, high tech. Can you think of a verse if you were going to put a little sticky label on your smartphone high tech devices that might be really important to remind yourself of? I visited a friend some years ago in Texas, and on his television, he had this, and I said, "What's that?" He said, "That's Philippians 4:8. What's Philippians 4:8? "Dear brothers and sisters, one thing, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Is that a good guidance for how we use high tech? What about the words that come out of our mouths and off our keyboard? Does Scripture have anything to say that? Anything come to mind? How about Ephesians? "Brothers and sisters, do not let any unwholesome, foul, profane, worthless, vulgar words ever come out of your mouth, but only such words that are good for building up others according to the need and the occasion, so that," what do we do this for? "You will be a blessing to those who hear you, who you speak to." Look before you leap into cyberspace. Think and pray before you hit the send button. Do you have an overall attitude before the Lord about the use of high tech and what you send to each other? How about this verse? "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Look before you leap into cyberspace. You have great potential with your high tech for good, for harm, or evil. Pray to the Lord that He will bless you before you press the send button. High tech, high touch. Our third point today, reach out and touch someone. Your high-tech device holds within its capability enormous potential to encourage, to manifest your love, and to impact lives for eternity. Do you believe that? Can the Spirit use how we wisely use these devices? For 12 years, I was a chaplain in the Air National Guard. If you visit a typical Air Force base, about 90% of the people on the base, what are they doing? Sitting at their computer screens all day long. So I always encourage my staff, the fellow chaplains and the chaplain's assistants, in our work day, we often had to engage with other officers on the base. And I said, it may be less efficient, but we're in the people business. If you have an opportunity, get up and go to see them face to face. High touch. So I encouraged them to do that, even though it may have been more inefficient. But the point was, we wanted them to get to know us and trust us so that when their bad day came in the future, they would know who we are and would be open to come for help. We have an opportunity to encourage each other. You could send text messages. Terry, thanks for playing the bass. You add so much to our service. I appreciate that. Virginia, thanks for leading the baby ladies Bible study. Praise God for you. Ken, thanks for running the soundboard today. We can encourage each other with high tech. Let's just imagine for a moment our new pastor has been on property here and preaching for a couple of weeks, and we have a little conspiracy after one of his Sunday sermons. What if about 50 of us conspired to text him throughout the week words of encouragement? You know, the pastorate can be a graveyard of burnout for pastors. They need encouragement like you wouldn't believe. His smartphone, you know the little sound your phone makes when a text message comes in? When that comes up to me, I think, oh, somebody loves me. Somebody's thinking about me. We could keep his little phone beeping the whole week long, sending him good messages. Let me get back to that in a second. Well, thank you, Pastor. Well done, Pastor. Great job preaching, Pastor. Praying for you, Pastor. Not all of those, but one of them. Remember the preachers, the pastors, two callings? Comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. So, great job afflicting me, Pastor. I had been too comfortable. Thank you, Pastor. I was blessed by your message. Or, great job comforting me, Pastor. I had been greatly afflicted. This is something you could do. Put on your best Mrs. McGillicuddy face. Come up to the pastor, poke your finger in his chest and says, Pastor, we're getting too much comfort here. I need more affliction. Don't you love us? Don't take that too seriously. So, anybody remember Fiddler on the Roof? The musical play. Tevye, the poor milkman, lives in a little Jewish town of Anatevka in Russia, 1905. Tevye has five daughters, just like Bronco and Ross and Doug almost made it with four. The older daughter, Seidel, falls in love with model Kamzoil, the poor tailor. All his life, model Kamzoil, the tailor, what did he have? Low tech, needle and thread. So one day, big change comes. Model, the tailor, gets a sewing machine. Talk about a jump to high tech. 100 times faster, perfect stitches every time. So, Model asks the rabbi, Rabbi, is there a blessing for the sewing machine? The rabbi says, my son, there's a blessing for everything. So the rabbi begins his prayer. Everybody, all the family and friends, quiet. Rabbi begins his prayer, a blessing in Hebrew. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech haolam, borei minei besamim. Bless the sewing machine. You remember that in the play? Is there a blessing from the Lord, if the rabbi was here and he spoke English, for your smartphone? For your tablet, for your laptop? Absolutely. the rabbi might pray in his high-tech blessing, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, King of the universe, who creates variety of spices." That's the actual Hebrew translation into English. "Bless this smartphone and my use of it." So, brothers and sisters, what have we seen today? There's an app for that. You have enormous potential in your hand. How we can bless and build real relationships with the other through high touch. Look before you leap into cyberspace. Inquire of the Lord. Pray to the Lord before you press the enter or the send key. Always be ready to listen to the still small voice of the Lord in your heart. Reach out and touch someone. Your high-tech device holds enormous capability to encourage, to manifest your love, to impact lives of your family, friends, co-workers for eternity. Ask the Lord for His blessing on your high-tech. Tertullian was a church father from many years ago who wrote just one century after the Gospel of John was written. He said something fascinating about the unbelievers of his day who had been observing Christians, followers of Jesus, loving each other and in high-touch relationship with each other. What did the watching world back then have to say about the Christians? "Behold how they love one another." That's what I pray for this church. The Lord will richly bless you as you follow the Spirit's lead in your use of high tech. Your high tech can be used to activate those one another passages in your life and your relationships. May the Lord bless us with high touch in our church body as we use our high tech. Brothers and sisters, join me as we lift up our hearts to prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, we just live in an amazing, amazing age, but You're an even more amazing God. We just thank You for Your love to us, for provision for salvation so rich and free through Jesus. Lord, out of our love for You, we just want to serve You in everything, every aspect of our lives. And Lord, we just ask Your blessing upon us as we go through these modern days with these powerful tools of high tech, that we would be use them to build the body in Christ in high touch. And we praise You in the strong and wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.